Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is People of Interest. I'm Jordan Poitras.
And I'm Amanda Wilson.
And we're joined by Say Adams and Ted Turner. Good morning, guys.
Hi. Good morning.
All right. So, Say is, well, legendary New York City graffiti artist and graphic designer, founding creative director for Def Jam Records. Highly regarded in the hip-hop community, Say, you're hosting a workshop on Thursday at 7 in Riddell Hall at the University of Winnipeg. You're speaking about your time as an artist in New York, as well as the social value of community expression in hip-hop. And, you also just released a book titled Def Jam's Recording, The First 25 Years of the Last Great Record Label.
Well, you did a really good job of reading that.
Hey, we wrote it.
We wrote it.
We didn't just read it.
Yeah. Can I just jump in firstly and just say that actually Say's workshop is Friday. It's Friday at 2, but his keynote, I'm calling it now, just started calling that in the past 2 days. Feels good, as long as you're comfortable, I'd say. For the festival is Thursday evening at 7.
Right.
And that's when Say is gonna talk to a room packed full of people in Riddell Hall about his work as an artist and his time with Def Jam and just the community experience and spirit of hip hop art, and design.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm confused about this. It says 7 o'clock here. When's the workshop?
The workshop is on Friday at
2 p.m. at the Hive.
All right. We're more concerned about people coming out for the talk than anything else.
Yeah, that workshop is already getting full.
Yeah,
but feel free to let us know if you're interested. We'll make it work. But it's the 7 p.m. speaking engagement on Thursday that is what we're really thrilled to talk about with you.
Right. So Ted, why are we bringing Say Adams down to Winnipeg?
Well, Say is coming to Freestyle, UWSA Freestyle, as our very special guest, and we're only able to do this through our relationship with Graffiti Art Programming, which is a very wonderful, singular program in Canada that I'm aware of in terms of the kind of work that they're doing, and the relationships that they have with world-class artists like Say. So we have access to Say through that relationship, and it's something that, you know, we're very privileged to be in that position. So we have worked with our friends at Graffiti Gallery, Pat Lazo specifically, who's an old friend of mine, you know, on a few programs. We brought Charlie Ahern here a couple of years back, incredible director, filmmaker, storyteller. And, you know, at that time we said, hey, you know, let's look at doing some other things. And I had seen Say when he was here a couple of years ago with some other artists at Graffiti Gallery, speaking on a panel and talking about their work and exhibiting work. And so we started talking about it then. So we're really, really thrilled to have it all come together for this year.
And I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, I'm curious about the art aspect of it. Like, and you're very well known for your graffiti work, and so I just wanted to know, how was that something that you got started doing? Was it something that you've always loved to do?
Wow, you know, the thing that's a little weird for me about it is that it literally was a lifetime ago. You know, I was doing that when I was, you know, 15, 16, 17, and yeah, I became a professional artist around the time when I was 20. And, you know, for me now, like I said, it seems like a lifetime ago. But the thing that I try to focus on today is taking the lessons that I learned, you know, as a young artist, and, you know, really just trying to steer young people in the direction of doing things positive with their creativity. Because, you know, the stakes are so much higher today with young people when it comes to painting and doing graffiti and vandalism and all of that. And so I try to just take the lessons that I've learned and educate them about how they can do something positive, so, you know, they don't get in trouble, and then, you know, their parents don't have to deal with,
right,
you know, the things that come along with that. And, you know, we've paved the way for them to not have to do those things. There's a lot of legal ways to do the painting that you love to do without getting in trouble.
Yeah, well, I guess here in our city, Indigenous youth find themselves in a different situation than other kids. What would you say to them directly to, I guess, steer them on a path that could be positive?
Well, that was it. The idea is that there's all these programs that are in place to help give you an opportunity to do something with your talent. When I was coming up, there weren't any of those opportunities. And so we were trying to make a name for ourselves. The only way we knew how was painting on subway trains, really just trying to be heard. And, you know, there's books now, there's movies and DVDs, and all these other things that young people can look at to try to find a way to channel their creative energy into doing something positive and get paid for it. And, you know, that's what I promote when I travel all over the country. I just, you know, want people to know that, you know, we've, you know, taken a lot of lumps so you don't have to. And, you know, just to be smart about it, because, you know, we're living in a different world than we, you know, did, you know, years back. And so there's so many great ways to do things and, like I said, earn a living and keep your parents off your back at the same time.
And I had a question about the book, the recent book that you wrote. Are you going to be anything specific out of that book that you're going to be talking about at the Riddell Hall on Thursday? Is it now 8 or is it?
It's 7.
It's 7. Yeah. Okay, it is 7.
It was 8 for a moment in time.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, and what kind of things are you will be addressing at that?
Well, just to be clear, mm-hmm. I designed the book, but I, along with my partner Bill Adler, put it together. So, I mean, you know, in theory, I'm more like a co-author than anything else. Okay. But because I did live a lot of, you know, the work that was done, you know, I did it alongside artists like Run DMC and Public Enemy and LL Cool J and Beastie Boys and later, you know, Jay-Z and, you know, people like that. But what I'm going to primarily talk about is my career in hip-hop as it relates to doing art and design, so people don't kind of get it confused. Granted, it's about the music, but for my purposes, it's about the art and design of hip-hop.
And so where do you think that is going now? Where do you think the designer in art in hip-hop is going to be going in the future?
Well, you know, I think that, like I said before, there's just so many amazing opportunities for young people. And, you know, and I know I sound like a PSA when I talk about this stuff, but I'm really proud of the work that we've done over the years. You know, myself and a lot of other pioneers have paved the way for anybody that's holding a spray can or sitting in front of a laptop. And there's just so many avenues for their creativity in terms of expressing themselves. And you know, I know everything keeps coming back to the dollar, but you know, that's what it's all about, the idea that you can do what you love and earn a living and hopefully keep out of trouble. You know, those are the things that I'm going to try to address, because you know, those are the things I'm most proud of.
Do you think in the age of social media, Facebook, Twitter, a lot of artists might find that it's harder to make a dollar when we have those outputs that are so easy and accessible for absolutely everybody, and that there's this like influx of art? And
no, you know, I think if anything it's easier. Like the way I look at it, you don't even have to leave your house to promote your work. You can do it, you know, sitting at your desk. When I was coming up, you had to have that gigantic black portfolio and get out there and knock on doors and hug babies and, you know, really, you know, get out there and sell yourself. And, you know, granted, there's a lot more competition now because, you know, social media makes it so easily accessible when it comes to showing your work. But, you know, I also think that there's a lot of benefits to that.
Yeah. What's kept you in touch with your roots, your coming up?
Well, you know, I'm actively involved in the community, and I think if anything, that's what kind of keeps me in touch. Is like I work with young people in New York and other parts of the country, because I think that it's important for people like myself that have kind of been on the journey to show young people who they are and where they come from. Because, you know, let's face it, if you're somebody that's 15 to 20, to you, old school is 5 years ago. Anything beyond that, you're talking about your parents, you know, territory, and you definitely don't want to have anything to do with that. So I try to just to show them that we are, you know, very similar, and I come from the same place that they come from, regardless of where I'm at. You know, when I'm here in Winnipeg, and, you know, the folks at Graffiti Gallery take me on a tour of the inner city, so to speak, I think that I identify with those kids, because it doesn't matter where you're from. I think that, you know, for the most part, all those people want to be heard, and they want to try to find an avenue to express their creativity.
And what kind of experience led you to want to kind of lead kids in a direction so that you didn't have to do what you went through when you were growing up?
You know what? Spending time around rappers since, you know, the early 80s, I've gotten a peek behind the curtain. And I know that a lot of the floss and gloss that kids see in music videos mm-hmm. is not real.
Right.
Granted, you know, in the day, you know, in the era of, you know, folks like Sean Diddy Combs and Jay-Z today, you know, becoming big corporate entities, you know, there are a lot of possibilities. But the truth of the matter is there's still that element of fantasy. And I want young people to know that there are a lot of other things going on besides, you know, the glitter and glitz of show business. And so for me, like I said, been exposed to it for so long, I just want them to understand that that's not all that there is. There are other things that go on behind the scenes. There are people that work with them that don't have to be on camera that can earn a good living. And so for me, I really just think it's important to educate them about all the other opportunities behind the camera. And, you know, being a creative director, art director, illustrator, and graphic designer are just some of the ways that they can take the talent and do something positive with it.
That's great. Yeah.
So we should recap the event Stay is part of, and then we should, head on to our next segment.
Yeah, I mean, Stay will be speaking again at Riddell Hall at the University of Winnipeg at 7 p.m. on Thursday evening. And it's a free event. It's open to all students and community members. I would definitely try and arrive early. The doors will be open by 6:30. We'll be seating people. And then we'll start right at 7 o'clock. And again, we're really thrilled to have Say as our guest and as part of the 7th program of Freestyle. And I also wanted to thank Mostland Press, the Uniter, for their essential partnership in making this possible this year. And they'll be there, and they'll be one of the people that briefly speak to introduce Say on Thursday as well. But I'd also like to quickly just note that there's a lot of other stuff going on throughout the week. It's absolutely jam-packed. You can find our program. Well, just find us on Facebook, UWSA Freestyle. That's probably what people like to do. But today, at 12:30 in the Hive, which is our exciting new programming space on the main floor in Lockhart Hall. It's actually a space that has a lot of CQW history to it, where CQW was heard for many, many years when it was just a closed circuit. I would say just in some ways, I don't want to say I prefer those days, but they were essential to being where we are now. And they definitely had a flavor all their own, the closed circuit era of this radio station. And it was heard in that space. So we're really excited to be back there. And it's a spot that we really want to animate with as an intersection of campus and community ideas and creativity and activism. So we're going to start that today at 12:30 by learning how to make hip-hop beats. And there's skills workshops and discussion happening every day at 12:30 in that space. And then we have two films over the next 2 days. At 4 p.m. today, we have RIP. It's a remix manifesto. Really great film that looks at copyright and fair use sampling and the history of sampling and just how restrictive and really criminal and grotesque a lot of the copyright laws are and how they restrict art and conversation. And our very own Rob Crooks is going to lead a discussion around those those ideas. That's at 4 p.m. And then at tomorrow's graffiti art love story, Give Me the Loot in the Hive. So go to the Facebook and you'll get all the program info. It's jam-packed, but say again, that's the big deal this year, and it's 7 p.m. Thursday. Don't miss it. May not happen again for a while.
Say, Ted, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'm just excited to be here. And again, thank you to everybody here at the university and folks at the Graffiti Gallery for having me back in Winnipeg. And anytime you guys need me, just give a call, and I'll be here.
You know, we should also, how could I miss, you know, there's this amazing freestyle radio series that Rob Crooks has been producing all week, and it's heard from noon to one every day right here on CKW 95.9 FM. And again, if you want to catch it later, you can get it on the archive anytime at CKW.ca.
All right. Well, thanks again, guys. We've gone a little over time, so we're just going to go straight into Groundwire for today, October 1st. You're listening to People of Interest on CKUW 95.9 FM.